Well, this Sunday we're going to be talking about laws, and this comes out of our Galatians reading. And depending on the translation you read, you have, all through Galatians, you have an ongoing conversation around law or laws or commandments and lots of other ways to put it. And the thing that struck me is that when it comes down to it in Galatians, what you end up with is that there's no more laws. Plural, because there is still law, and the law is pretty straightforward. Jesus said it in various places. It shows up in the Old Testament, and Galatians, to the people in Galatia, Paul, just to make sure that nobody can possibly miss it, says that the entire law, which of course is the plural, all the laws that are there, are summed up in a single command, love your neighbor as yourself. So there are no more laws. There's one law, and it's one of those laws that sounds like not much till you actually start thinking about it. And it's a challenge for us to love our neighbor as ourselves. And it's a challenge for a couple of reasons, and one that is occasionally dismissed, but one that we do need to pay attention to, is that lots of us struggle with loving ourselves. And when it comes right down to it, for lots of people, and fine Christian people certainly fall into this category, many of us treat other people better than we treat ourselves. And the difficulty of trying to apply this idea of loving our neighbor as ourselves is that if we're not careful, we'll allow it to revolve totally around how we happen to feel about ourselves at the moment. And so if we're down on ourselves at the moment, we might be harder on people than they deserve. If we currently think that we ourselves are pretty wonderful, we might treat people in ways that let them know that what they're doing is okay, perhaps, when it isn't. So we do have to have a certain amount of caution in this. But it's better for us to live this way than the other, because the alternative, living under law, is what the entire Old Testament is about. And there's lots of lenses to look at the Old Testament through. But one of them, and I think in some ways one of the best ones, at least for us, is to look at the Old Testament through the lens of it being a centuries-long experiment to demonstrate conclusively that telling people every single thing that they should or shouldn't do still won't move them into the kind of people that most of us want to be, and certainly not into the kind of people that emulate Jesus. Giving people an endless list of do's and don'ts tends to push most of us to creatively interpret this in ways that then let us get away with what we want, or to use the laws in odd ways. I think I've told this story before, but I like it quite a lot because it demonstrates exactly this way of thinking. When I was at college, we had, depending on what year you were there, we had community guidelines, codes of conduct, whatever they might be. And this gives you some idea of how long ago I was in college. They had specific directions about what you wore when you went to church, after telling you that you had to go to church. You had to attend a certain number of services a week and that kind of thing. And so it said, you know, it had this description of what women needed to wear, dresses and all that kind of thing, and men needed to wear suits or dress sweaters. And so at a particular student leadership kind of thing, we were going through the new changes, and that was in there, that you know, you wear a suit or dress sweaters. And so my response was, well, what, if you wear a dress sweater, does that mean pants are optional? Obviously, I didn't think that. What I was doing was looking at the letter of the law, and like most people, particularly young people, you give them the letter of the law and they will figure out a way that the letter of the law doesn't mean what it means. The Old Testament was filled with laws, and it did the people of Israel virtually no good whatsoever. This desire that we have for laws, to have things clear, is very human and often very useful. But it creates as many holes as it creates walls. Anyone who has raise children, whether it's their own or others, knows exactly what this means. When you tell people to do a particular thing, it doesn't affect what they want to do in any way, shape, or form. And that's what we're trying to do. That's what the Old Testament laws were purportedly trying to do in this demonstration, trying to say that if we do these things, we'll become these kind of people. And instead, by the time of Jesus, what you had was the most spiritually acute group, the Pharisees, had developed this rigid and unhelpful way of looking at the world. Law was supposed to create freedom, and instead, it created rigidity. And so when Jesus came, he came saying that these laws that we had have been fulfilled in me, which is not so much a matter of having a big, long checklist of laws that you check off. Did I do this? Did I not do that? But rather to become the kind of person who does those same sorts of things, but without the checklist. And what we end up with is this idea that all of those things are summed up in loving your neighbor as yourself. Jesus made it clear in the parable of the Good Samaritan that the neighbor is not the person who lives next to you, but is in fact everyone you come in contact with. And Paul is building on that, saying that when we're led by the Spirit, we're no longer under those laws, but rather we are under this other law of loving our neighbor as ourselves. To go back to my student career, although I guess this is when I was in faculty, when they were rewriting the student handbook for the seminary. So here you've got people who are in graduate school who presumably by this point have worked out that very natural, very expected, and completely human desire of 19, 20, and 21-year-olds to rebel against any law just because it's there, even if they do it otherwise. And so they were rewriting the handbook, and so they asked for my input. They only asked once because my input was, well, that's pretty straightforward. We'll just borrow from Augustine. And at the top of every page, it'll say, love God, and at the bottom, it'll say, do as you please, and in the middle will be blank. That was Augustine's take on this whole idea of loving our neighbor as ourselves. Augustine's perspective in this pithy little quotation is that if you love God, then what you do will reflect the reality of all of these laws, but without you having this checkbox mentality. If I love my neighbor, I'm going to go next door and move whatever is about to be damaged by the rain under a tree, not because there's some checkbox in my house, not because I'm going to get a fine if I don't, but because that's what you do. Loving our neighbor as ourselves, loving the people around us as ourselves, means that we keep all of those things that are in the law, but without having the law. And it's one of those aggravating things, as so many are, that from the outside, you can't tell which is which. It would be nice if we could always tell what each other's motivations are. For that matter, it would be nice if we could always tell what our motivations are. People who treat you well because they love you will treat you in a particular way, but people who treat you well because they want you to think well of them because they think you can influence their path in a good way will treat you exactly the same way. You won't know. People who obey the law because they're afraid of getting a ticket when they're driving along drive exactly the same way as people who obey the law because they're pretty sure the law makes sense and they're just going to pay attention to it because, well, then we all get along better. Behaviors are the same. It's the internal motivation that changes everything. You see this once again when you're raising children or when you're around young people. If the dishes are done, when you've asked for the dishes to be done, sometimes they're done because, well, this is part of my responsibility in the home, and I will just take care of this. And some of it is because At the back of your child's mind, at least, there's some kind of threat. Usually it's a nebulous threat because you've never made any threat. They're just afraid of something. They're not sure what. Who knows what you're going to do if they don't do this. The dishes are still done. But is the relationship strengthened when your children are afraid you're going to do something if they don't accomplish what you've asked them to do? No. Do they feel better about themselves when they feel that they've been forced into something? Once again, no. What we're aiming for when we're encouraging our children to do things, what God is aiming for us when we love our neighbor as ourselves, is a transition into the kind of people who don't do things because it's a rule, but do things because that's the kind of people they are. All of us have known people who have gone above and beyond the bare requirements. Those neighbors who have been better neighbors than you've ever had before. Those employers or employees who consistently do more than they're asked to do, more than they're paid to do, as it were. And we remember these people, not because they've been trying to cynically manipulate us in any way, because it's hardly ever the case, especially over the long term. It's because they're the kind of people who do these things. The kind of people who pull over and help somebody just because they need help. Do that because that's the kind of person they are, not because of any particular benefit they're going to get. And that's what Paul is talking about. When Paul says we're not under the law, when Paul says the laws don't apply to us, as he says in many places in Galatians and all through his writing, what he's saying is that with the relationship of God through Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes into you and you are being transformed, not as quickly as we'd like, at least not as quickly as I'd like, I'm being transformed into a different kind of person who doesn't look at the law and say, I must do this or else, but looks at what needs to be done coming from the perspective of the fruit of the Spirit. We become the kind of people who don't need law because the kind of people we are characterized by love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If we have those sorts of things, we do everything the law ever required, and more besides, because we're doing it from the perspective of a person who just is that kind of person. When our children are little, we give them rules and we don't explain why. Well, maybe we try. Eli is now tall enough to reach things, not just on counters, which is a challenge enough. For those of you who are new, Eli is my grandson, the best grandson ever. Luckily, when my grandchildren appeared, I got one of each, so I can call them the best when they're both in the same room. He's 18 months. So he's tall enough to reach and pull things off if he wants to. It also means he's tall enough to touch things on the stove. Well, I can explain to him over and over again that if he reaches up and touches the pot, it will hurt. Or I can prevent him from reaching up and touching the pot. It's a rule that he is now beginning to understand, that when he comes near the stove, because, I mean, obviously he can touch the front of it. I mean, it's not like it's all out of bounds, but when he gets close and I move towards him, he's starting to step back because he knows this is a rule. He doesn't know why. I may have explained it to him. I'm sure I did. I talk a lot when I'm in the kitchen, whether there's anybody there or not, and Eli's as good an audience as any. And I'm sure I've explained that it's hot and it will hurt his finger, all that. But it's the rule that keeps him away because he knows he's just going to be moved anyway, so he just steps back. We have law when we don't understand. Later on, he will become the kind of person, like every person, who avoids touching hot things because that's just sensible. It's not the rule anymore. The rule is irrelevant. It'll be because he understands this is how the world works. Well, the same thing can happen to us in our interactions with others. We can become the kind of person who is gentle with others, not because there's a list in our mind that says, oh, I need to be gentle or else. But because the Holy Spirit is working within us, making us into gentle people. That when we are moving into interactions with people, at the back of our mind is this ongoing orientation towards loving them as we love ourselves, respecting them as we respect ourselves. Not because of any external punishment, but because this is who we are being transformed into. For the Christian person, there are no more laws. But one of the things that we notice when we think of Augustine's love God and do as you please is we realize that actually that's quite a bit more difficult. Because it means that we need to think carefully in most of our interactions that have any kind of potential problem, rather than just looking for the rule over here. We have to look at the context. We have to look at the person. We have to pay attention to what's actually going on, that we might be loving here, that we be gentle, that we be patient. All of these things, it doesn't make it easier for us in one sense, because it's not quite as clear cut. When someone's doing something that they have chosen to do that seems to only affect them but appears to be harmful to them, at least to us, do we intervene or not? We can look for rules. There are none. If we love this person, we have to carefully analyze what's happening. We have to sometimes even ask them and talk to them. In many ways, it's more difficult. But in every way, it's more rewarding. Because when we love each other as we love ourselves, we do honor to the created being in front of us. When we give the same value to them that we want ourselves and that we have for ourselves, we're reflecting a deep understanding that God created this other person just like us. And that we're not looking at people as an opportunity to check off boxes on our virtue scale. But rather, we're looking at them from the perspective of what's best for them. How do I love them the most? Whether it's somebody you're only going to interact with for a moment, or whether it's someone in your family. Not having any laws makes some things considerably less clear-cut. Laws in the Old Testament are about as straightforward as you can get. Which is why we so frequently, in our worst moments, use them to beat each other up, because they're clear-cut, and you can probably find something in there to complain about someone else's behavior. But we're New Testament people. We're not under that law. Jesus came to both fulfill and destroy it. And Paul tells us over and over again that that law no longer applies. But the greater law of loving each other as ourselves, loving the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind, supersedes all of those laws, combines the best parts of all of them, and rolls them up and says, this is the law that you have. The law of loving others as you love yourself. It can be more difficult, but it's certainly easier to remember than the 612 commandments in the Torah. Certainly worth it. We no longer have laws because we don't need them, because they get in the way. They cause more problems than they solve. And the one law we have is enough. Is enough for us to treat each other with the respect and dignity that we all deserve. It's enough to help us make better decisions about how we interact with the people in our circles, immediate or otherwise. And it's an ongoing reminder that it's the Holy Spirit transforming us into those kind of people who obey this one law, because it's the kind of people we are. Amen.